This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions, because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And a good morning, my friends. A sunshiny hello on a cloudy sort of and bit of a wet morning. Nonetheless,
good for the garden.
Good, yes.
Always positive.
That voice, of course, belongs to Charlie Dobbin.
Thank you.
It's The Garden Show from
with
Zoomer Radio.
Franklin Proctor.
Why, thank you very much.
Sous chef, also known as the under gardener.
Yeah. And, you know, a little bit later on today, I'm going to be back on the air from 1 to 3:30, and I'm going to recount the day that my eldest son was born. Today, 47 years ago, at the Richmond Hill Hospital, and it's kind of an amusing story in a sense.
I'm sure, except probably not for Di at the time.
No. You're right.
What was the Richmond Hill Hospital?
Yeah.
Is that what it was called?
Yeah. That's as far as I know, Richmond Hill Hospital. Good Lord.
I wonder if it's the one that, like, Major Mac?
Yeah, it's on Major Mac, I think.
Okay, it's been renamed, but it was something else. Anyway, you're right. My local.
Anyway, I'll kind of recount that and some other fun stuff. But in any case, happy birthday, Kelly, in case he's listening in.
And happy birthday yesterday, Elliot.
Yeah, your guy.
June babies. Yeah, cusp.
And you.
I was just, you were saying, you know, all this organization for Kelly, and I was going, guess what I forgot?
Yeah, that's right.
Organized everything. Had the kids, had the food, had the presents, the cards.
Didn't have the cake.
And didn't even think of a cake. I just totally went right out of my brain.
Well,
but like Elliot said, you know, I don't eat sweets, so I just didn't even think of it.
Yeah.
So anyway, I raced out and got him a nice something at the last minute.
Well, this is not the pastry show. This is called The Garden Show.
We
love callers. So folks, give a ring if you're in the Toronto area to this number, 416-360-0740, and then anywhere in the province toll free 1-866-740-4740. If you're a first time caller, please let Sebastian, our operator, know. And when you get to the air, that's where you're going to hear. Get garden wings.
Those wings.
Oh, yeah. Call early, call often. One question per call. There you go.
You've got, hey, that's everything. That's perfect. And we love questions, but we also love tips.
Oh, gosh,
right? Tell us, you know, you might have something that's working well for you, so feel free to share. We love to hear that as well. Okay, so much going on.
I know.
You know?
Crazy.
So just a big shout out to everybody I have met with and spoke to at both Thornhill and Tottenham Hort Societies this past week. Very enthusiastic groups. They missed you. They wanted you there.
And I shall go up to Tottenham with you one day. Yeah, that'd be great.
I told them. I said, if Frank was here, we would not be talking about gardening. But what? We'd be talking, though. And they had good, you know, beautiful flower shows going on. So that was a lot of fun. So just a thank you for inviting me. I also was very impressed with the grand opening of the new 2-acre rose garden at the Royal Botanical Gardens happened this past week.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And boy, is it beautiful. They've gotten rid of all the old roses, the ones that just required far too much maintenance and the ones that make everyone afraid to grow roses, replace them all with newer varieties. So, of course, they're all new gardens, so everything's still fairly small, but they've interspersed companion planting, so non-roses, to bring in the pollinators.
Right.
They've also got the whole historical, it's all in a big circle.
Yeah, yeah.
So on the outside of the circle, they've got the story of the roses, so the very, very, very old ones, which were the genetics that all the new ones have come from. Really, really well done. Just a very nice.
Oh, isn't that? Well, congratulations.
Yeah. So if you're anywhere near Burlington, you want to get into the RBG, definitely check out the that brand new rose garden. But as well, today, the annual rose show is going on at RBG in the center. And that's the Hamilton and Burlington Rose Society. Now, that's a big deal. That's both days this weekend. Of course, late in the day tomorrow, they auction off all the roses. So, so really excellent place to, if you're a rose lover, get down there this weekend if you can, or sometime soon. Now, if you don't want to go that far, staying closer to Toronto might be, for some people, more what they're doing, and you still love roses, the Greater Toronto Rose Society is having a show all day tomorrow afternoon at the Toronto Botanical Gardens in the Garden Hall. There was a presentation at 1:30. Of course, the gardens are open. There's food happening in the Garden Cafe, and of course, the show, the talk in the afternoon, so everyone is welcome. There's no charge for any of this. Even parking is free. Now, today, the Long Branch Garden Tour is happening, and Long Branch is the largest, biggest free garden tour, I think, in the world, actually.
Really?
Not the world. That's maybe taking it too far. But it is a very large, very free, wonderful tour. It's self-guided, 37 private gardens. There's a bonus of 2 free gardening seminars starting at 9:15, so just happening right now.
37? Wow, that
is
big.
Yeah, that's a lot of gardens, eh? So for more information, check out longbranchgardentour.wordpress.com. And tomorrow, the Mississauga Garden Festival is being held at Riverwood Conservancy, along with a paid tour of private gardens. The Riverwood Conservancy is a unique 150-acre nature park on the banks of the Credit River. So, again, a free event. The festival is free. Marketplace, food, kids' stuff. Paul Zammit will be there chitter-chattering. So, experts everywhere and lots of fun. MississaugaGardenFestival.ca.
Wow. And as you mentioned, everything's going on this weekend. We've got the Gay Pride weekend going on. We have like up to 1 million people coming to town.
Oh, that's right, eh? Yeah, extra bodies.
So to those folks who are tuned in for the very first time here to Zoomer Radio, the Garden Show, good morning. Welcome to Toronto. Enjoy yourself.
That's right.
You'll have a ball. All right. We have to take a little bit of a break here, Charlie.
We do.
Because we have callers all lined up, set to talk to you here from Zoomer Radio, the Garden Show, live and direct from the Zoomerplex in Liberty Village.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got the Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, Charlie, here you are, and we're going to put you to work, my friend.
I'm afraid of that.
Out there in Dundas, Ontario, is Brenda. Good morning, Brenda. Welcome to the show.
Hi. I have 3 little plants called Blue fescue.
Yeah, or festuca.
All right. And they've been there about 3 years. And oh, they're lovely. They look like little hedgehogs sticking.
I love it. Look, that's a very good description. I was showing Frank some pictures.
They've sort of half lifted themselves out of the earth. What's exposed is it looks like a root ball with nothing but dead grass. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, shall I pick away at it or just leave it? Will it sink back in the earth? What shall I do?
No, it won't sink back in. But probably what that is, like you said, it's been 3 years. So if you look closely, that sort of ugly brown bristly bit at the base, that's where the leaves were 3 years ago and 2 years ago. Because remember, the new growth comes from the center of the plant. Mm. So that's basically dead foliage from the past. You can double check. The plants could have heaved up out of the ground. That is always a possibility. And if they have, like if there truly is root ball exposed, then yes, you would lift them up, dig a deeper hole and sink them back down so that the roots are underground. But if it's more just that brown, bristly old leaves, then that's just picking away at it. Just get down there on your hands and knees.
It's more like, it looks like an earth.
Yeah, if it does look like earth, well, like that happens sometimes in the winter when we get the freeze-thaw cycles, plants will sometimes actually literally
raise up.
Just be pushed up as the ground expands and shrinks through the freezing and thawing. So if that's what's happened, then certainly don't hesitate to get out your shovel, dig up what you've got there, dig a bigger hole, put it down deeper, and make sure the roots are well covered.
So it's just a case of replanting, really.
Yeah, and once you've got them up out of the ground, that would also give you an opportunity to with your fingers, just pick away and remove any of that dead foliage.
Mm. You know. There's a lot of it. All right, Charlie, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, Brenda. Have a great day, and thanks for joining us here on Zoomer Radio. Let's go to Mississauga now, Charlie. There's Steve. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
If I may, a quick comment. Last week I left my name and number in regards to clippings and the like, and within the hour, I phone call from somebody a couple blocks away, and they were kind enough that very afternoon to drop off.
Oh, that was Rose of Sharon,
a whole bunch of
really
of clippings samples from the garden.
Oh,
and
nice.
What can I say? The network of people who happen to listen to the show.
Good people.
All I can say is I'm very grateful, and I appreciate their.
Thank you for that, Stephen. Thank you to the donor. But that supports what I've always said. You never meet a mean gardener. Gardeners are good people. Seriously. Anyway, so what else is going on in your garden? What do you need now, Steve?
Well, here's the thing. I'm looking at the clematis, which is about 9-10 feet tall, going up the side of the leg of the deck. It's plenty of sunshine, but nary a bloom.
I know, but it's a bit early. Well, I mean,
you suppose,
it's, yeah, I mean, do you know what kind of clematis it is? The variety?
I can't remember offhand, but
is it
purplish flowers.
Yeah, flat, star-shaped, deep purple. So it's probably one of the more popular clematis called Jack Manny, which is what we call a summer-blooming clematis. Mm-hmm. So here's the deal. In the spring, you want to cut that whatever's left over from the year before down to about 4 to 6 inches tall.
Right.
So assuming you did that, did you do that?
Yes, I did.
Good. So, because when you do that, you'll get a lot more new growth, and I'm amazed you're up to 10 to 12 feet already this spring. Like, that's great. So it's obviously a happy, vigorous plant. Look closely. I think you will see there are some buds. It should not be blooming yet. It might be showing some buds right now, but it's another week or two before we see any color off of those. All right? So don't panic, whatever you do. Patience, my friend.
Good to know.
Okay.
Thanks very much.
Hey, thanks, Stephen. That was very kind of you to call with a thank you to our audience.
Mm-hmm.
Good folks out there, all. We have to take a bit of a break here, so
okay.
I'll remind you that the phone lines are open. We got a couple of lines open, as a matter of fact. In Toronto, 416-360-0740. Then anywhere in the province, it's toll-free, 1-866-740-4740. Back in a mo.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
All righty, Charlie, let's head out to Hamilton. I don't know whether it's
Seagrave.
Around...
Seagrave. Pardon?
No.
Aren't we going to Betty?
Kevin is next online, I do believe.
No, look at your numbers, baby.
Oh, gee whiz, how did that happen?
Okay.
Well, look at that means then, if we're going to Seagrave, that means Betty is on the line, a first-time caller.
Nice.
There we are.
Welcome.
Okay, Betty, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be on. I'm calling about the Epsom salts in the water bottle with the tomato plant.
Oh, interesting, yeah.
I did not catch how much Epsom salt or how often.
Okay, you know what's so interesting about your question? The person who shared that information with us, his name is Warner. He's actually on the line as well, calling in for another reason. But I'll tell you what I wrote down when Warner called us 2 weeks ago. He said that he cuts the bottom out of a water bottle.
Right.
And then into that, and the water bottle gets inserted into the earth beside the tomato. 2 teaspoons of skim milk powder, so fat-free milk powder.
Okay.
2 teaspoons. 1 teaspoon of Epsom salts.
Okay.
And water, obviously, because the water is going to cause all that to become soluble and take it to the roots. And he does that. I'm pretty sure he's... Well, we can... You keep listening.
I will.
We've got him on the line. He'll confirm that I'm correct what I just said. And I think he said he was doing it every 2 or 3 weeks all season.
Mm.
I'll listen.
Okay.
Okay.
So you keep listening, and we'll get the right from the horse's mouth, the actual truth to a truthful answer to your question, okay?
Great. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
All right,
welcome.
Betty. Thank you.
Don't be a stranger.
Yeah, always welcome here. Doors always open to The Garden Show. And now it's to Hamilton, and there's Kevin. Good morning, Kevin.
Hey, good morning, Charlie. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning.
The reason for my call, the better half loves green grass, and so do I, per se. But over the last 2 years, the neighbors have moved weeds on either side of us. But this white head sort of looks like, I believe people have told me it's clover.
Right, it's a little white ball-shaped flowers.
Yeah.
Right, so it hasn't taken up the yard, but it's in sections.
Yeah.
Can it be dug out? Do I dig that area out and reseed? What do I do?
Well, you can. You can remove it, and you're right, digging out is going to be the best way to get rid of it. Clover does have a tap root, so a deep root, so you're going to need a tool, a strong screwdriver, or you know, a good proper weeder to get down, loosen that root, pull up the clover. But I will say, I'm a big fan of clover in the lawn for a couple reasons. One is that deep tap root will break up clay if you've got a heavy clay soil or a compacted soil. If we get into a drought situation, all of our grass will turn brown and go completely dormant. Clover will stay green
because really?
It's got that deep taproot. It can access water. And clover is a member of the legume family, so it's able to take nitrogen from the air and feed itself. So you don't even need to fertilize clover. So no water, no fertilizer, and it's green and looks good. Those little flowers are super supportive of the pollinators. And, of course, because of habitat decline, we are seeing that pollinators are struggling, whether it's bees or anything else. So that, you know, clover is one of those things that I'm actually somewhat of a fan of. But if you want to get rid of it, you can pull. And keep in mind, with any weeds in the lawn, the way to minimize them moving into your lawn or taking over your lawn is keep your lawn thick and dense and you know, in good condition. So that's top dressing with soil.
And don't cut it so short, right?
Yeah. And definitely, always cut it that 3-inch height. So it's a longer grass than what we used to do after when we've mowed it. But, it, you know, keeping it happy and healthy is adding that good organic, that layer of soil every spring or fall, a good half inch, and overseeding every spring or fall.
If I was to fertilize, sorry to cut you, if I was to fertilize, that's not going to, as she said to me, that's not going to feed the clover.
Sure it is. It'll feed anything that the fertilizer comes in contact with.
So more clover will come. But clover is not a bad thing because of the pollination.
Yeah, exactly. It's not a bad thing. But you know, you could get out there hands and knees. I do it all the time. We joke about me and my wine bottle out there on the lawn. So, because, you know, once you're down there, it's much easier just to stay down there.
It's no joke.
Yeah, I hear you.
So, but, you know, make it fun, right? Get the clover out, then fertilize. And that way, you know, your turf grasses will fill in the spots.
Okay, then. Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you, and the same to you. Thanks for joining us. You've already mentioned that we have Warner online from Tilston.
There he is, yeah.
And here he is to confirm
all
of you.
So we have a question for him.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, welcome again, Warner. How you doing?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Sally and Frank, I'm fine. How about you?
Excellent. So, Warner, did you hear Betty called and she wanted your recipe again?
Yes. Well, you put the water bottle in when you plant the plant, and then you feed it once a week.
Oh, once a week. Uh-huh. Okay.
2 fat-free milk, 1 Epsom salt.
And water.
And then when you go around, the tomatoes don't like to be watered from top. You stick the hose in that bottle, and it foams up, dissolves it, and goes right to the roots.
That's very clever.
There you go.
If it runs over, it doesn't matter.
Right. Cause
I had the problem when I started that, to put the powdered milk in with the plants, and the raccoons come at night and ripped out all the plants, ate the powder. And I had to replant. That's when I said, now I'll fix you. I'm going to make it in liquid.
That's right. And put it deep so they don't know it's there. So do you put the skim milk powder in first and then the Epsom salts and then the water? Just really get that.
Put all three of them in together.
Yeah.
And it dissolves as you put the hose in.
Right. Okay. Excellent. All right. So I've got that. So that's weekly. You do that every week.
Every week. Yeah.
All right, Betty. That was for Betty. I hope she's writing that down.
My tomato plants are like trees. You need a ladder to climb up.
Already? Like today?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
And you don't get any black rot. You know how the black spots on the tomatoes?
Blight, yeah.
That's when I started to search out and said the tomato plant is looking for calcium.
Right.
And that's when I done it. And I was successful so far.
That's great. So your tomatoes are that tall right now. They're like 6 or 8 feet tall now.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
When did you plant them?
In spring, when the first tomato plants come out in the stores.
Yeah, but was it like early May or did you wait till May 24th?
No, I didn't wait.
Okay. Yeah, so they've been in the ground. Oh, interesting.
I took a chance.
Okay, good.
You know, it's very seldom that I look across the table here and see a surprised, almost shocked look on Charlie's face, but you've been awarded the I've scared the devil out of
Charlie. Well, you see my tomato plants. Yeah. I planted them like a week ago, so it's just there's a big difference between Warner's tomatoes and mine. Anyway, carry on. You have a question?
Yes. Charlie, about garlic. Mm-hmm. My garlic, I called you last year, and then I cut that. You know how high they get? I cut them in half.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, don't, because the leaves have to stay on to make the bulbs thicker.
Yes.
Now that garlic is up, everything is fine, mm-hmm. but a new shoot come out with a little bulb on the end of it,
mm-hmm.
right in the center.
Right. Well, that's a flower. That's called a scape. S-C-A-P.
That's a flower?
Yeah. You don't want that. You got to cut that out.
Got to cut it out.
Yes, indeed.
Can you use it?
Sure. Absolutely. It tastes like it's fresh right out of the garden. It's pure garlic.
Wow.
Chop it all up.
Somebody told me that's good for enemas.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Anyways.
What a bummer.
When do I know to pick up the garlic?
That is a good question. That's one of those ones where it's there's a lot of kind of potential of when you dig it up. So the kind of the rule of thumb is when 2/3 of the leaves are yellow, it's uh-huh. time to dig up the garlic. However, what I do is I keep an eye, and when I've got about half the leaves yellow brown, you know, squinch your eyes, dig up one. Get out your digging fork, dig up one, and see what it looks like, because there's a perfect time to dig up garlic. If you leave it too long, the cloves will start to come apart, and be, you know, opening, so that they're very difficult to dry down and to save and to replant. If you dig it too early, then the cloves are too small. So there's a sort of a perfect window to dig garlic.
To check one.
Yeah, so just check one, exactly. Once you've got about half the leaves yellow, and that could be any time in the next, you know, week to 2 weeks, really. And of course, you're warmer than we are, so it might even be, you know, a week or less where you are.
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you do if you're colorblind?
You get a neighbor to help you.
Okay.
Call somebody to come.
Okay, guys. I listen to you every week.
Oh, well, I love when you call.
And I learn.
Oh, well, thank you for your tips. It's great.
It's super.
Beautiful. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Thanks so much, Warner.
What do you do when you're colorblind? That's a good question, too.
Yeah, darn good question.
I wouldn't know. Women aren't colorblind. It's only men that suffer with that one.
Oh, I see.
Yes, indeed.
In Waterloo, Ontario, there's Catherine on the line ready to talk to you. Hello, Catherine.
Hello, Charlie.
Good morning.
Good morning. Recently, my neighbor gave me some deep... planters, and I wasn't sure what I was going to plant, but anyway, I remembered you saying years ago, you said you could build it up, and that way you don't use so much soil.
Right, like how tall are the planters?
Oh, I don't know, not very tall, but like maybe 8 inches. What I came up with was I had used styrofoam, two styrofoams to build it up, and I planted my herbs, and they're doing quite well.
Okay, good. Yeah, putting in a false bottom, if you will, into a deep planter can be a great idea, and herbs tend to be shallow-rooted. Mm-hmm. However, if the planters are only 8 inches tall, I would be inclined to have fill that right up with potting soil or good, you know, quality soilless mix. It's when you've got a planter that's sort of 4 feet tall that you only, you know, herbs are going in there. You can put 3 feet of styrofoam and then a foot of soil kind of thing. So just because it is expensive to go right to the bottom.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, good idea. Always, yeah, because it is expensive and you put the amount of soil you think the plant's going to need. All right.
Nice. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much, Catherine. Wanda in Scarborough's next on the line here. Good morning, Wanda.
Good morning, Charlie. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning.
Just for a minute, going back to the tomatoes and the Epsom salts, a simpler way I had read was to put the Epsom salts in the bottom when you're planting the tomato plant. And I don't do anything all year, and so far I have not had any tomato rot or any problems with the tomatoes I do.
Good. Well, see, the difference is Warner was concerned. He wants to not only get the Epsom salts in there, which is magnesium and sulfur, but he wanted to get the calcium in there. So that's where the dry powdered skim milk comes in. So that's why he does this whole thing with the bottles, is to get that calcium down there.
Right.
But your Epsom salts are magical. You can use those to, you know, heal gout, set a broken bone, and feed your garden.
If you've got a computer, go online. Oh. Epsom salt. Oh my gosh, oh, the uses are amazing.
I know. There is something called the Epsom Salt Council. It's such a great.
Yeah.
The Epsom Salt Council, it is a, you know, .org. EpsomSaltCouncil.org. And all the benefits and uses of Epsom salts.
Oh, thank you.
Alrighty,
anyway,
but you had a
getting
question.
To my question, I have, I think, dianthus. Mm-hmm. growing, mm-hmm. and one of them is like a bulb about circular, maybe 9 inches in diameter, and then I've got smaller ones, different colors, mm-hmm. that are just maybe about 4 or 5 inches. Mm-hmm. Will these blossom all all season?
No. No, they are hardy perennials, so they do overwinter and come back every spring. But most dianthus, there's a bunch of different common names, but most of them are spring bloomers. So you will get beautiful flowers ranging from whites and pinks and magentas and purples on the different dianthus plants. Planted in full sun and planted in a well-drained, fairly fertile soil, you know, super showy. But the flowers, once the flowers are done, if you want to just get out like a pair of hedge clippers and give kind of shear off the flowers when they're past, you may find you'll get a second bloom on the plants. But no, to have flowers in August and September would be highly unusual.
Well, I just wondered, I have square planters that are... I would say about 16 inches square, mm-hmm. and they're cement.
Oh, yeah.
And I want to put some geraniums in there, and I didn't know whether I could put the little dianthus in there, whether they would...
Well, the difference is that the geraniums are an annual flower in our climate, of course, die in the frost, but they will bloom nonstop all summer. So they give us that bang of color. And of course, geraniums love the heat. So sunny location, hot summer weather, geraniums are just perking along, looking great, very cheerful, low maintenance. Mm-hmm. The dianthus may not survive the winter if they stayed in those planters, but they'll certainly look pretty while they're blooming. And after that, they would just be like a little green carpet, like a little green ground cover in your planters.
So I just didn't know whether, say, at the end of July or something, these dianthus would not have a showing and I'd have to put something else in there.
Exactly. They're likely to just be green, little green plants with no color. Mm-hmm. So you'd almost be better to put the dianthus in the garden where you can have that changing pattern and palette of plants and get yourself something like with the geraniums. I love, there's something called million bells. They look like little petunia flowers.
Yes, I like them.
But they trail. So they grow like a carpet or a trailing plant. Again, it's an annual, but blooms all summer. So you can get that lovely softening over the edge of the concrete planters.
Right.
Geraniums up high, million bells trailing beneath and full color all summer, right through till hard frost for both of them. Mm-hmm.
Sounds good.
Okay, yeah. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Yeah. Thanks for
you
calling.
Too.
Here we are on the Garden Show, and gosh, we're going to screech to a halt momentarily. We've got to get some of the words from our fine sponsors on the air. And just a quick note, we're approaching our 10th anniversary on this show.
We are.
And when I came in the studio this morning, Charlie said, what the heck was Friday the
4th of July?
4th of July back in 2008. And from there, we figured out that was a Friday.
Yeah.
And the following Saturday, you were on the air for the very first time.
Yeah, with Bill Gable.
Bill Gable was the co-host.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next one was
Norm.
Yeah.
Normie.
And then on the 19th,
Frank arrived.
Yeah.
And then it was like Ozzie and Harriet.
Yes. Thank you for that. No, but
salt and pepper. What else?
But when you think about it, that's a pretty good record.
That's quite a run.
Ten years. Yeah.
July 19th, you and I met on air. Had never met before.
The reason I bring it up now is that, you know, give a chance to folks get out there and get us something nice as a present.
Right. Get that champagne chilling.
Of course.
Yes.
Yeah, why not? Okay. We do have to take a break right here. The Garden Show from Zoomer Radio. We've got the lines are all jammed right now, so I won't even give out the phone numbers at this moment, but we will return in moments.
change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, my friend, let's go back to Hamilton right now and say hi to Sophie, who is on the line. Hey, good morning. Welcome to the show, Sophie.
Yes, good morning to both of you. I can hardly hear you.
All right, we'll talk loud.
Thank you, Charlie. I was very lucky a couple of years ago to find a 5-inch rooting of a rose. So I decided to plant it and see what I have. So this second year, it's growing, it's beautiful, it's against the fence, and it's bloomed. I have tiny little white roses with a touch of pink. So my question to you is suckers. Is there such a thing as a sucker on a rose? They're very tall and one branch. Is it good for the rose? Do I get rid of them? What do I do?
Well, okay, so when you say sucker, so you've got some growth from below ground coming up near the rose that's rose but has no flowers on it?
They have no flowers, no.
Are the leaves different from the leaves on the branches with the flowers?
No.
The leaves look similar?
It's similar.
Well, okay, what I would say, if you start got that as a cutting, so it was a little piece of rose that had some roots, or you put it in the garden and it grew some roots,
yes,
then whatever's growing around that rose is the same rose. So
yes,
if it's going to make the whole plant ugly or take up too much room or take over your garden, you can always, always cut those suckers out. But to be worried that it's a different rose, I would say likely not. It's likely the exact same rose. But roses have a real tendency to do that. They'll send shoots off the root. And so what you start as a nice little controlled bush becomes, you know, an acreage of rose. So you remember, you're the boss. So you have the ability to say to this rose, no, I love you, but I do not want you taking over the entire garden. So with suckers, to really remove them, push, like, get out your trowel, get the soil away from that thorny cane, follow it down underground, find out where it's coming from. If you can get down to the root, break it off the root, and it will not grow back.
So if it's not coming from the ground, if it's actually on the rose itself, let's say a foot up or whatever, is that still a sucker? Do I still remove it?
No, it's just obviously some growth. And usually when we grow roses, we're growing them for the flowers. Now,
yes,
when we don't know what the variety is, and it might be an older variety that only blooms once. See, that's the thing. That was one of the improvements with roses, was getting them, they're called ever-blooming. So we get that big flush of flowers in June, but then we continue to get flowers in July and August and September. The older varieties only bloomed once, and that was in June. After the flowers, we've got the hips, the little fruit.
Yes.
So, I mean, unless it just is making the plant super unbalanced or really not attractive, or, you know, just needs to be brought under control, I would leave it alone. I don't do any radical pruning on my roses except in the spring.
Okay.
All
that's
right.
Wonderful.
And you never
Thank
know.
You very much.
You could get some flowers on it still. You're welcome.
Yeah, that advice means that you don't have to do any work.
That's right.
Yeah, right.
That's the hammock, the nice cold drink.
Exactly. Get that wine bag out. Okay.
That's right.
Hey, Marcia in Kleinberg. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
Yes. I have a panicle hydrangea, vanilla fraise. And I think the problem is that we didn't cut it down low enough this spring. The foliage is fairly sparse. Is it too late to take it down further?
Well, okay, so how tall is it?
It's probably about 3 feet, and the leaves are just on the ends of it.
Oh, interesting. Now, is it getting sun? Tell me how much sun it's getting.
Oh, it gets full sun all day.
Okay. And did you... tell me about the soil. What's the soil like? Is it fairly... Kleinberg has a tendency to be quite clay-like, but there are some gravelly areas as well. What's the drainage like?
Well, I think the drainage is pretty good. The soil is... we've certainly amended it a lot over the years.
Okay,
and my backyard slopes down, and this is at the top of the slope.
Okay, so that's good. Because it likes, that's what it's going to like. It's going to like well-drained soil, good quality, fertile soil, not a lot of leaves. So look closely. Have you kind of gotten in close and looked? Could there be something eating the leaves? Like, why are there only leaves on the tips? Like, were there leaves on the inside of the plant that have fallen off or been eaten away?
No, it's actually... the structure of the plant, the branches are fairly open,
mm-hmm.
so there's not a lot of stuff inside it.
Mm.
So, you know, to me, it just looks like...
Yeah, it probably looks silly, like little pom-poms on the end.
Yeah, and it looks like there's just, you know, the wood is older in okay. there. And I've done that... I guess over the years, because it's at the top of the hill, so it has a tendency to bend over
right.
with a slope. So I've tended not to take it down very much each year, so that the stems would not be so lax.
Right. Yeah. So what? Well, you could, as you clearly understand, if you did some pruning, even some just took an inch off of, or 2 inches off all those branches, you would likely encourage more leaves in the center of the plant. So it would be thicker, denser, better looking plant.
Right.
However, I would, if you're going to do that, this is June, you would want look closely because the buds are currently forming on the tips.
Okay.
You don't want to
so,
cut them off. Yeah.
So you could end up with virtually no flowers this season if you did any pruning now.
So then, should I just maybe leave it and then next year take it down?
Exactly. Too? Don't be afraid to prune it back hard next spring. You know
okay.
what I'm saying? Like, you know, you can take
a third?
Or more in the spring. You can take it down by half.
Okay.
Go right in, go back to buds and get, you know, that new growth. Because, yeah, you do grow this plant for its flowers. And to start pruning it now, I would be hesitant.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you,
Marcia.
Thanks very much.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you for calling.
Very pretty.
Couldn't be helpful to some other folks listening in. And we do have to take our final break here just before we talk to Mike in Kitchener here on The Garden Show from Zoomer Radio.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
All righty then. Hey, Mike in Kitchener, it's your turn. Good morning.
Hi, how are you this morning?
Good morning.
Great.
My question is about fertilizing my lawn today.
Oh, yeah.
After all the dry spell we had, would it be okay to go out there and do it today?
Did you fertilize in the spring?
I certainly did.
Oh, my. Aren't you a keen fertilizer?
But it's been so dry, I don't want to burn it.
No, you're absolutely right. With the dry, you know, we're seeing some yellowing. There's the dormancy kicks in. And so fertilizer will just, burn the plants. But are you getting some good rain today?
Yeah, off and on.
Okay. And when you fertilize, you're using a fertilizer spreader on your lawn, right?
Correct, yep.
Those spreaders work better when the lawn is dry, because if you start getting some water splashing up into the spreader, all your fertilizer will start clumping together and you'll never, ever be able to separate those little grains again without a hammer. So I would just wait. Now, we do have more rain forecast through the week. So I think the idea is it's kind of rainy off and on all weekend. Then I think Monday should be a nice day. And then there's sort of guaranteed rain, I think, by Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah,
so
okay,
if
then.
You can,
thanks very much for your help.
Do it on the Monday. Yeah.
Okay.
You're very welcome. Thanks
Alrighty.
For calling.
Hey, and we have time certainly for one more call, and that would be Eva listening in from Seaforth, Ontario. Good morning, Eva.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
I would like to ask, partially you just answered my question with the previous caller.
Oh, yeah.
I would like to know the sequences, how often and when to fertilize my lawn with the weed killing. I know I'm not supposed to do the weed killing only when it's dry and hot, but when?
killing weeds in the lawn?
Right.
Okay, and is this where you're digging the weeds out or you've got to spray?
Well, I have to spray. I dig out a couple of them because I have a new grass, and it was just put down last October.
Okay.
And it's flourishing very nicely.
Okay, good. Well, okay, so the weed killer you're using, is it like Weed Be Gone or something like that?
I didn't use yet.
Okay.
But that's why I'm asking. I don't want to ruin my grass now right. that it's so nice.
Sure. Well, okay, so when you go out shopping for the weed killer, be very, very careful that you're buying a herbicide that kills weeds in lawns.
Mm-hmm.
There are some non-selective herbicides out there. So this would be a spray that we would spray on little weeds coming up in our driveways and walkways. You know, little things start growing between the stones.
Yes.
And those sprays are vinegar-based, and they will kill everything, particularly if you use them on a hot, sunny day. Now, weeds in the lawn, however, we don't want to use that because that will kill the lawn. And you're right. It's going to be the hot, sunny days make the herbicides more effective, but make it more so it's very stressful on the plant to put that herbicide on. But then you don't want to hurt your turf either. So get
no,
a hold of.
I used the same weed killer in my other house when I moved from there.
Okay.
And it worked perfectly.
Excellent. And there's going to be some good information on that weed killer as to when and how often to use it.
Mm-hmm.
Fertilizing, though, the fertilizer manufacturers want you to fertilize in the spring.
So, which one I did.
Okay. And then they like you to fertilize twice in the summer. So once, like our last caller indicated, when things are looking a little peaked and we're getting some rain, there's your first summer fertilizing, so June-ish. Another summer.
So it's now the time.
That's right. And then your second summer fertilizing would be typically sort of early August. And then, frankly, the most important fertilizing of the entire season for the lawns is in the fall.
Okay.
And that's the one that helps the lawn get ready for winter. So
and
that,
again, I can't have rain for 24 hours, right?
Well, you just want a dry lawn. You know, it's just, it can rain, but if the sun comes out and it's windy, 2 hours later, you can fertilize. You'll just find it, the spreaders work a lot better when the lawn is dry.
Okay.
But
that's
that's the sequence. So spring, two summer fertilizings, and then the fall.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you. Ethan, nice to have you on the show representing the folks there in Seaforth,
Thank you very
Ontario.
Much.
You're
All
welcome.
Righty.
Thanks for calling.
Well, Charlie, my gosh, bunch of areas covered there this morning. Interesting stuff coming by.
And from all over the province.
Yeah, nice. Exactly. Nice once again to share the studio with you.
And you, of course, are back on...
Yep, I'll be back 1 o'clock until 3:30. And boy, is there a lot to talk about.
Time of year.
Unbelievable.
June.
Yeah.
Yesterday was the longest day of the year. Did you?
I think today is.
Oh, is it today, maybe?
I believe so.
And it's summer now, too. It was spring last weekend.
Just
happened. So, thank you, Frank. And, enjoy your weekend and all
thank
these
you.
Busy activities. I know I've got the same thing. I'm racing up to Collingwood after the show. So, stuff going on everywhere. And, great callers. Keep up all these great calls. Love it. And you and I are still doing the planning for the big celebration that we are hosting here at the Zoom. Zoomerplex for the Garden Show. See you all again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.